Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Rolling along here on Sabres Live on the heels of a win last night for Buffalo over Carolina. They'll try to duplicate it against Pittsburgh tomorrow. Our regular contributor, long-term contributor to this show, Darren Dreger, I would say almost in his home office today, inside an arena, on the Canadian prairies, looking good. How are you, Dregs?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Here I am in sunny Winnipeg. It is sunny, in fact, in Winnipeg today. And I don't know what this translates into in Fahrenheit, but it's like just above zero here in Winnipeg. But it sounds like it's going to be cold for the weekend. But just in for the Winnipeg Jets and the Seattle Kraken in my annual pilgrimage back to my homeland. So looking forward to a good day.
Because you're in Winnipeg, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Number one, do you think Connor Hellebuyck should deserve some Hart MVP consideration? And is Shifley-Connor the best duo in the league right now with the way they're playing with the Jets?
Well, right now, I think that's a fair argument with Shifley and Connor. And there seems to be an ongoing, I don't know if it's fair to call it a debate, but it's a question as to whether or not Kyle Connor qualifies as an NHL superstar. And I'm in the camp that thinks he's an NHL superstar just because of everything that he brings. Now, where are you making that comparison? Are you looking at McKinnon, McDavid, Draisaitl, Makar, guys like that? I don't know. But what I know is this guy can just flat out play and put the puck in the net. And we saw that with a natural hat trick earlier this week. And there's just something different about Mark Scheifele. And by different, it looks like he's more comfortable in whatever role he has to play any given night. Now, you know that he is, you know, most often the guy that helps drive their offense. The power play in Winnipeg has been electric basically all season long. Mm-hmm. But I would agree, Marty, again, if we're having an in-the-moment, a now conversation, Connor and Chudley are right up there with the best.
Which of the two teams you're seeing tonight, Seattle-Winnipeg, is going to be more active at the deadline?
Well, it feels like Seattle, just based on the adversity that the Seattle Kraken are dealing with here. And we know that they've got some pending free agents. You know, Yanni Gord is a name that's basically on every trade graphic that exists now across the networks and all of the accounts that follow the National Hockey League. But again, the question that kind of continues to swirl around Yanni Gord is, what are you getting? Are you acquiring a veteran center as a third line guy, or on a good team, is he a fourth line guy, right? And it depends on, you know, what type of center you're looking for. You know, there aren't many coaches that don't like big centers. Well, Yanni Gord isn't that, but he's a very competitive piece. So I think that he definitely gets moved. You know, beyond that, it is going to be interesting to see what Ronnie Francis does, because that ownership group with the Seattle Kraken has high expectations. You know, they break into the National Hockey League on expansion and really on the heels of the Vegas Golden Knights. And we all know what the Vegas Golden Knights have accomplished in a short period of time, especially what they did right out of the gate. Now, you know, Seattle didn't expect to do that, but the expectation is that they're a far better team than what their record is showing and the slump that they've been in. And I've talked to lots of executives across the NHL specifically about Seattle, and I think you guys would agree. I'm watching this team take the morning skate right now. Tells me nothing. But when I look at the group of players here, yeah, Jordan Eberle is hurt. But on paper, this team should be way better than what their record shows. And nobody seems to understand as to why that is. What is the problem? What is holding this group back? But I can guarantee you those questions are being asked of Ronnie Francis and Dan Bylsma.
So you mentioned Yanni Gourde, and center is going to be the big talk, I think, leading up to the deadline. The Leafs put Tavares on IR. We had a conversation about Ryan O'Reilly. Where can O'Reilly go? Can he go back to St. Louis? Can he go to Toronto? Do you think there will be a lot of centers that will move? Like, if I had to set an over-under, are we talking about 8 centers that will move before the deadline?
It's hard, really hard to handicap that, right? What we know is that there are a handful of teams, at least, maybe as many as a dozen, and that might be like that, are looking for some sort of add at center ice. Now, you've got some teams that are looking for a top 6 center, and that's not going to fly. But you've got teams like the Toronto Maple Leafs, when John Tavares is healthy, that for sure are looking for a bottom 6 center. I would wonder if you want to talk specifically here, Marty, of Ryan O'Reilly, and let's just back it up for a moment. His name is out there for the right reasons, but that doesn't mean that Barry Trotz is shopping him. It's just that teams are calling because of where Nashville is positioned right now, and they're looking at O'Reilly and going, okay, well, given his experience, his pedigree as a Stanley Cup champion, I mean, he ticks a lot of boxes. But if we want to link O'Reilly in a return to Toronto, I guess why I hesitate in thinking that's a good fit. I know the connection to Craig Berube. I understand the time they spent together in St. Louis. But if you've got Austin Matthews, you've got John Tavares, I mean, is Max Domi going to stick at center ice? Don't know. You've got David Camp as your fourth line guy. Can you have John Tavares, who's having a brilliant year despite the fact that he's going to be out for a while now? I mean, he's getting slower over time. I mean, age is starting to be a factor in Tavares' game, and most definitely is a factor for Ryan O'Reilly. So I don't know that he's a great fit for Toronto, but given the history, I think that there'd be some consideration. But Barry Trotz has to have that conversation with ROR. You know, out of respect to Ryan O'Reilly, do you want to go to a playoff team? And even though I don't have to pick the team you want to go to, I'd like to do you a favor. They've got to have that conversation.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
You didn't mention the term left on O'Reilly's deal. So yeah. you don't see that as an inhibitor like for anyone like Toronto? They would figure out a way to make it work for the next couple of years?
Well, and they would if it came down to Ryan O'Reilly being the right piece. And Duffer, that's where I struggle, because I don't think as we're having this chat right now, I don't think that he's at the top of their list. I really don't. And, you know, there is the affordability factor. You know, you can only play that game of taking on term or offering term for so long and with just a number of players before you go, okay, hold on a minute. That's how they got Chris Tanev. That's why Chris Tanev signed with the Maple Leafs. I mean, yeah, of course, he thinks he's got a real good chance to win there, but they overpaid him in term, not necessarily in money. Toronto isn't worried about what Chris Tanev is going to look like, because they'll find a way. They'll find a way to get away from that contract when that time comes up. Maybe they get to that place with Ryan O'Reilly when they've exhausted all the other center opportunities that are out there between now and March 7th.
I thought they closed Robida Island in Toronto. Maybe they'll have to reopen Robida Island. It feels like the Cal Dubas, Pittsburgh Penguins, Tristan Jarry saga is probably one of Robida Island the movie that's going on. So Jarry will mostly expected to clear waivers at 2:00 this afternoon.
Yeah.
Do you think that's the first step to potentially trading Tristan Jarry and retaining some salary and reacquiring some money at some point? Or do you think that's is over, like three more years at 5.375, Jarry is going to be in the minors until he can figure out his game?
Probably that. I mean, I can only go based on, you know, some of the intel that I gathered when he was placed on waivers yesterday. And a couple of managers that flat out said he's sailing through waivers. Don't even worry about the 24-hour period. Just report immediately because nobody is going to claim him. And, you know, when I look at the work that Kyle Dubas has done, we can all be super critical, right? I mean, he swung for the fence initially and bringing in Erik Karlsson. Well, that hasn't worked out well. But, I mean, ownership, new ownership of the Pittsburgh Penguins at that point felt strongly that they had to give it one more go. Just add another real good piece, and let's see if that's enough to help the future Hall of Famers make one more push. And it didn't, and it isn't. You know, that's not to say that the Penguins aren't competitive, but I think what we're seeing now from Dubas is he's trying to transition on the fly. It's like an undercover retool or renovation, but it's short of a rebuild. So I have no doubt that the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to look different, if not much different, on March 8th than they do right now. I believe that. And, you know, it might be some depth pieces. You know, Peterson's name has been out there for a long, long time. You know, I'm starting to hear Drew O'Connor and some other pieces that could be or are in play. So it's that type of work that I think that Kyle Dubas is most likely going to do. I don't know how he gets out from under the Tristan Jarry contract. You know, in hindsight, that was a tough deal that he made in extending Jarry when he did.
Happy 33rd birthday to Buffalo's Jason Zucker. The question is, will he be getting a contract extension a little after this birthday celebration, or do you think that Zucker will be in play at this year's deadline?
I would think that he would be in play, and that's not to suggest that, you know, Adams and the Buffalo Sabres don't see the value in having the experience that he provides, especially with a team that's still, you know, trying to find their way. So there's still a youthfulness about the Buffalo Sabres. So those players do have value, but you guys know the dance, right? You know, what you do is you have the conversation with Zucker's agent and you find out what's he expect in term? What does the money look like? And then you balance that with the trade conversations that you've had and the value that you might get in return for a piece like that. So high level of respect from the organization towards Jason Zucker. And I don't think that they're too far down the path in having those extension conversations. I could be wrong there, but it does feel at this point that he's likely more of a player in play.
Dregs, usually we save like birthdays and, you know, in this day type of situation for the last segment, but because you've been around for such a long time, you're a well-traveled man. Bob Uecker passed away at 90 today, 10 days away from his 91st birthday. I want to know if, like, those type of play-by-play guys, like the legendary, like the Rick Jenerets of these, the other thing, like if you grew up idolizing them and listening to them and the characters that they were, because you're a character, you are a character, Dregs, but Bob Uecker was definitely a major character. So anything you remember from your, you know, your travels and being a baseball fan back in the days?
Oh boy. Well, not related to baseball, but I can connect that to the hockey world for sure. I mean, you know, from a Canadian perspective and my vintage, like who didn't grow up, you know, almost worshiping in a broadcast perspective, Bob Cole. Yeah, I love the way that Bob would just set the table. And it didn't matter if it was a 5-0 hockey game, the anticipation build, especially in the playoffs, was second to none, in my opinion. So I broke into this business effectively as a play-by-play guy for the Brandon Wheat Kings. And before that, I did some work in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League and in senior hockey in Saskatchewan. But I idolized Kurt Kielbach. I don't know if you remember that name. He was a play-by-play guy for the Winnipeg Jets for a long, long time. And he had such this big, booming, powerful voice. And on top of that, just a wonderful character. And you know, hockey is lucky. And it's changed over time, of course. But you know, you've got all the great voices, Rick Jenerette, of course, there. You know, I think of Bob Cole, Harry Neal on the fly. Joe Bowen of the Toronto Maple Leafs is vintage. He's been there for a long, long time. So we can go on and on and on. All great storytellers and wonderful at their craft.
Yeah, there's a never-ending list of people in those positions
that
have really just made this sport a part, made any sport a part of a fan's life beyond what you could have ever imagined. It is an incredible bond. You know, and I can only imagine how sad everyone is across baseball, but especially in Milwaukee, where Bob Uecker's legacy was forever.
How many Miller Lights do you think he's had in his life? Like, calling games with a big, big Miller Light. Like, that had to be, like, the number one thing you wanted to see.
Yeah, but back in the day, fellas, you would know this. Like, those guys did that. Like, the play-by-play and the color guys back in the day, they did that. They either had a rum and coke going or a cold beer. There's always something going
on. Dregs, there's a soundbite of Rick Jeanneret in a game on the radio, and the guy walked by the table and grabbed his beer, and he goes, and Perot over, hey, bring back my beer. Like, he's like, what are you doing? So there's a sound of that somewhere going on.
That's awesome.
Dregs, thanks for the visit from Winnipeg tonight. Enjoy the trip. We'll see you next week.
Hey, guys, have a great weekend.
Sabres Live rolls on after this.